Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. In your Scofield Bible, page 1312, we'll begin with the 18th verse and read through verse 25. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. In your Scofield Bible, page 1312, we'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The text verse for this evening's message is the 23rd verse. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. It indeed endures forever. Thank you for this church built upon thy word. Thank you for a preacher who preaches thy word. Give us the intent now to hear thy word. Now keep us alert and help us to listen on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
All they needed was just a little bass in that. I won't force myself on them. I won't do it. But I was exactly what they needed in that. A real men sing bass. And they needed some real man to counterbalance that woman that sat on the end here singing. Okay. I really do feel like tonight's message is not going to be a great message, but I really feel like that you ought to listen to it very, very carefully. I often wonder what I would preach if I had every Christian in the world together at the same time, could speak to all of them at one time. This message tonight may be what I'd preach. I want to speak tonight on the subject, how God does everything God does. How God does everything God does. I want to read you a verse. You don't have to turn to it. I want everybody now, no talking, no whispering, every teenager, every adult, every college student, I want you focused right here. I read this passage to you. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Let me explain what I think that means. Every single thing that God has made is composed of atoms. A-T-O-M-S. An atom is invisible. The atom is what composes your body, this, everything. Everything is made up of atoms. A million atoms on the point of a pen cannot be seen. 5 million laid side by side would not be as big as the dot at the end of this sentence. Everything is made of atoms. And when God said, now look it up a minute, again, I didn't keep it in my place there. When God said what I read a while ago, He said, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, I think he's talking about the atoms are clearly seen. That means that since God created, and it says right here, from the creation of the world. Since God made everything, John 1:3 says all things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That means that every atom of the universe is subject to obey the words of God. Everything does not have the same atoms, but everything is composed of atoms. And that means that every atom in the world, the invisible, things you can't see, obey the words of God Himself. How God does everything God does, our Heavenly Father. I pray tonight that You'd help this State of the Union message to lay the foundation for this year and this church again as we think of how You do everything You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible and hold it in your hand. Close it and hold it in your hand. Like this. Just hold it there before you. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Look at me, young people. No talking. Wonderful words of life. Everybody look right this way. You've laughed enough. I want to talk to you tonight. Now, this message was prepared between 1 o'clock in the morning and 6:30 in the morning 2 days ago. All night long. Didn't sleep. And God woke me up. I slept 45 minutes. God woke me up about 12:40. I got out of bed. I didn't go back to sleep. I dressed and spent the rest of the night preparing this message. Now, if I can do that, you can stay awake for 45 minutes and hear what I've got to say, and you can listen to me. I want to tell you tonight what you have in your hand. Just keep your Bible closed there in your hands. I want to tell you the power of that book and the words of that book that you hold in your hand tonight. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The reason the sun will rise tomorrow morning and be in the heavens throughout the day and set tomorrow night is because of the words of God. I mean, God just spoke and the sun said, here I am. By His words, He created the moon. The reason the moon is in the sky tonight or the heavens tonight is because God said, get up there. I mean, just shine. And there was no moon to shine. But God said, let there be light. Look at me. Let there be light. And there was light. The reason the stars, the North Star, the Milky Way, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Neptune, all of the heavens tonight are there because one day God said, get up there. And by the words of God, the sun came from nothing. You believe in the big blast theory? No, sir. I believe in the big blaster theory. I believe that there was no sun, and God simply said and spoke, and the sun became. And God spoke, and the moon became. And God spoke, and the stars became. Hold your Bible up there. Hold it up. Look at it. That's the way God created the unit of the stars. Put your Bibles down. What you hold in your hand? You held in your hand the way God created light. The way God created water. Genesis 1:6 says, and God said, and God said. That means God speaking words. He said, let there be light. I mean, firm in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters. By His words, He made the clouds. By His words, He made the mist. By His words, He made the rain. By His words, He made the hail. By His words, He made the sleep. By His words, He made the snow. By His words, He made the rivers. By His words, He made the ocean. By His words, He made the seas. By His words, He made the lakes. By His words, He made the ponds. By His words, He made the streams. By His word, He made the Pacific. By His word, He made the Atlantic and the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico. By His word, He made the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the Aegean Sea and the Red Sea. By His words, He made the Dead Sea and the Lake Michigan. And He made the Salt Sea and the Amazon and the Nile and the Mississippi and the Missouri. By His words, He made Lake Superior. By His words, He made Lake Huron. By His words, He made Lake Erie. By His words, He made Lake Ontario. By His words, He made the Green Bay and Tampa Bay. By His words, He made the Chesapeake Bay. By His words, He made the Jordan River. By His words, He made the rivers Abana and Pharpar. And by His words, He sprinkled the lakes, the 10,000 lakes of Minnesota upon the horizon. I'm saying, look at the great Pacific Ocean as we did a few days ago. And one day there was no Pacific Ocean. And God said, well, let's just let there be a Pacific Ocean. And by the mighty words of God Almighty, He made the mighty Pacific. That's the book you hold in your hand. That's the power you hold in your hand tonight. Everything that God has ever done, He's done by His words. Everything. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, and God said, there are His words again. And God said, let dry land appear. Let dry land appear. By His words, He made the land. By His words, He made the mountains. By His words, He made the deserts. By His words, He made the plains. By His words, He made the hills. By His words, He made the valleys. By His words, He made the black dirt and the red clay. By His words, He made the Rocky Mountains. By His words, He made the Appalachian Mountains. By His words, He made the Smoky Mountains. By His words, He made the Ozark Mountains. By His words, He made the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. By His word, He made the Teton Mountains. By His word, He made the Royal Gorge. By His word, He made the Grand Canyon. By His word, He made the Alleghenies. By His word, He made the dunes of the earth. By His word, He painted the desert. I mean, God simply said, He said, I want some Rocky Mountains out there. And He spoke, and mountains jumped up in Colorado. God spoke, and mountains jumped up in Tennessee, eastern Tennessee. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, every lake that God ever made, every ocean that God ever made, He made because He spoke, and they came into existence. By His words, the stars in the sky, the sun of the day, and the moon, the lesser light that shines by night, and all of the rivers and lakes and all of the land, God simply spoke. There was a day when there was no earth, and there was no sun, and there was no moon, and the great Jehovah, eternal, almighty God, joined in with His own Son, Jesus, and He spoke. And stars danced across the sky. And He spoke, and mountains raised up on the horizon. He spoke, and valleys went between those mountains. He spoke. Everything that God has ever done, He's done by His words. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, there it is again, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding seed. What does it mean? That means that everything, that all of plant life, God made by His words. He made the trees by His words. By His words, He made the fern. By His words, He made the grass. By His words, He made the plants. By His words, He made the hedges. By His words, He made the gardens. By His words, He made the bushes. By His words, He made the vegetables. By His words, He made the fruit trees. By His words, He made the rose. Sometime look at the beauty of a lovely rose and realize that God, He didn't make that by planting a seed somewhere. He just spoke and made that rose. But I say, the mighty words of Almighty God. Look at the tulip sometime. Look at the gardenia. Look at the daffodil. Look at the carnation sometime and realize the stately pine, the redwood, the orderly orchard, the fern, the spruce, the carnation, the orchid. Come with me, if you would, please, to a winding road in Maui, Hawaii. As Mrs. Hiles and I got in our rented car and drove down a little winding road, 58 one-way bridges on that one winding road that covers about 35 miles. And that road winds like a reptile down through the mountains and valleys of Maui, Hawaii. You can't imagine the different colors in that little road. We saw orchids growing wild beside the road. I mean, cymbidium orchids and white orchids growing wild beside the road. Every little hue, every little color, every little bush, every little tree, every different kind of flower and plant and growth. Hey, my great omnipotent God made every one of them. You say, how could God do it in 6 days? All he had to do was say, let there be. Let there be an orchid, and there was an orchid. Let there be a rose, and there was a rose. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, look at that book you've got in your hand. That mighty book is the way that God has done everything God has ever done. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. And God said, there is again, let the waters bring forth abundantly the many creatures that have life. And God made animal life. By His words, He made the birds of the air. By His words, He made the fish of the sea. By His words, He made the cattle of the earth. By His words, He made the beast of the field. By His words, He made all animal life. Look at the feathers of the peacock and realize your God made those by just saying, let there be feathers that color. Look, if you would please, at the bluebird. By His words, He made the loveliness of the bluebird. By His words, He made the redbird. By His words, He made the blue jay. By His words, He made the tropical birds. By His words, He made the pheasant. By His words, He made the giraffe. By His words, He made the mighty lion. By His words, He made the agile leopard. By His words, He made the wings of a butterfly. Come with me tonight in a submarine on which we traveled for an hour or two. As we boarded that submarine, the submarine went down to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. And there that submarine parked on the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. You can't imagine what we saw go by that window. Mermaids. Everybody wants to go to Hawaii. Raise your hand, would you please? I mean, you can't imagine. Unbelievable colors. I mean, thousands and thousands of fish, and some in mighty schools of fish, thousands of fish exactly alike. All colors. As I looked out that window, I realized the magnificence of my God. Every little fish that swims in the sea tonight didn't evolve or is not evolving. Our God said, I want a fish that size and that color. And God spoke, and there was a fish that size and that color. How did God make the birds that fly in the air? By His word. How did God make the fish that swim the sea? By His word. How did God make the beasts that roam the field? By His word. Hey, look at that book you've got in your hand. Everything that God has ever done, He's done with that book right there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, there it is again. God said, let us make man in our image. How did God make man? The Bible said God made the earth and rested. And God made man and rested. And God made woman, either man or earth or God, has rested since. Sometimes you look in the mirror and see your eye. That marvelous thing called the eye. And realize that eye did not evolve from some little freckle on a protoplasm. That eye was placed there by the word of Almighty God. That marvelous thing called the ear was placed there by the word of Almighty God.
Someday you look at your beautiful wife or my beautiful wife and realize that the beauty of those ladies, the most beautiful creatures that God has ever made, that's the handiwork of God Almighty. God spoke, I said, by His Word. God never has and never will and never can do anything apart from His Word. He speaks and does what He does.
John chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning was the Word. That's all there was. That's what started it all. Was the Word. Brother, you got the Word. You don't need anything else. Beginning was the Word. In verse 3 it says, all things were made by that Word. In verse 10 it says, the world was made by that Word. In Psalm 33:6, but the Word of the Lord, by the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made. You know how God's preparing a place for me? He's speaking and said, I want this for Hiles, let it be. There it is. He's been up there talking for 2,000 years. Imagine all the stuff He's talked into existence up there. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. Psalm 33:6, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. 2 Peter 3:5, by the word of God the heavens were of old. Look at the works of God, everything. Psalm 33:9, He spake and it was done. I love it. He spake and it was done. He just says, I want it and there it is. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's time that God's people got back to realizing everything that God does, He does through His Word. Not His commentaries, His Word. Not His exegesis, His Word. 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same Word kept in store. That North Star is still up there by His Word. God said, stay there. God said to the earth, you be over here and you do this. And the heavens, I'm talking about the myriads and multitudes of stars and constellations tonight, they're all kept there by God's Word. God said, stay there till you hear from me, and they'll stay there till they hear from Him. By His Word. Hebrews 12:26 says, whose voice shook the earth. God wants to shake this earth. He didn't pick it up and shake it. He just says, shake. God wants to send the tornado. He just says, tourney. He says it. Doesn't push a button. He says it. God wants to send a hurricane to the coast of Florida. He speaks it down there. And decides where it hits. He upholdeth, Hebrews 1:3 says, He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. By His words He spake to a sick man, and he became well. By His words He spake to a blind man, and he saw. By His words He spake to a deaf man, and he could hear. By His words He spake to a dumb man, he could talk. By His words He spake to a crippled man, and he could walk. By His words He spoke to a dead rod, and it lived. By His words He spoke to a dead girl, and she lived. By His words He spoke to a live tree, and it died. By His works He spoke to a dead tree, and it lived. By His works He spoke to a calm sea, and it was trouble. And by His words He spoke to a troubled sea, and it was calm. By His words He spoke to a gourd vine, and it grew up in one night. By His words He spoke to a worm, and it cut down the gourd. By His words He spoke to a fish, and it vomited a backslidden Baptist preacher. By His words He spoke to a school of fish, and they filled a net. By His words He spoke to another fish, and he took a coin in his mouth. He spoke to angels. By His words He spoke to demons. By His words He spoke to dying men. By His words He spoke to dead men. By His words, they obeyed Him,
He spoke to worms and they obeyed him. He spoke to cows and they obeyed him. He spoke to mules and they obeyed him. He spoke to lions and they obeyed him. He spoke to bears and they obeyed him. He spoke to ravens and they obeyed him. He spoke to quail and they obeyed him. He spoke to frogs and they obeyed him. He spoke to donkeys and they obeyed him. He spoke to flies and they obeyed him. He spoke to locusts and they obeyed him. He spoke to lice and they obeyed him. They obeyed his words. I'm saying everything that God has made stands at attention and obeys when God speaks, because everything that God has ever done, he's done through his words.
By his words, he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Lazarus, come forth.
Somebody said, if he hadn't have said Lazarus, every dead man in the world would have come out of the grave. By his words, he healed the sick. Psalm 107, verse 2. God sent his word and healed them. By his words, he resisted temptation. Matthew chapter 4. When Satan came to Jesus and said, and tempted him, in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, as it is written. By his words, he resisted temptation. You think you can resist temptation, young folks, without the mighty words of God? You got nothing coming. You think you can live in this world and resist rock music and fornication and filth and garbage? You think you can resist the devil without his words? Even the mighty Son of God himself had to use his words with which to resist the devil. The devil tempted him, and in chapter 4, verse 4 of Matthew, he said, it's written. Again in chapter 4, verse 7, he said to Satan, it's written. Again, he said in verse 10 of chapter 4 of Matthew, it is written. By his words, all men are kept alive. Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father.
By his words, a burning bush was not consumed. And by his words, he reversed the heat of a fiery furnace. See, all these things are composed of atoms. And atoms obey him. The heat's composed of an atom. Clouds are composed of atoms. Animals are composed of atoms. And every atom, not just every man, not just every bush, not just every fish, but every atom, things invisible, obey the words of Almighty God.
At the resurrection, his words will call the dead forth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, the Lord cometh with a shout.
Whose shout? His shout.
What will he shout?
I don't know. Maybe it's get up. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's rise. I don't know. But I know one thing. Not one dead body will ever rise from the dead till his word raises him from the dead.
By his words, he will destroy the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
God will not put down the Antichrist with bombs, atomic warfare, nuclear warheads. God will not put down the Antichrist with armies and navies. God will put down the Antichrist the way God has put down everything he's ever put down. He'll speak and the old boy will fall over.
By his words, he will consume him with the spirit of his mouth. And he comes back to earth in Revelation 19:13. It says his name is called the Word of God. In Luke 4:32, it says his word was with power. No wonder they said in John 7:46, never man spake like this man. His words were like a sword, Hebrews 4:12. Like a hammer, Jeremiah 23:29. Like a fire, Jeremiah 23:29. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, his word shall not return void. It says in that same verse, they will accomplish what God pleases, and they'll cause prosperity.
In Jeremiah 1:2, it says, I will hasten to perform my words.
Hold it. Look at your Bible again. Hold it up. Look at it. Put it to your breast and hug it. Kiss it with your lips. You know what you have there? Hey, do you know what you've got there? That's better than Jesus coming here tonight and speaking. Because Jesus couldn't be but one place at a time while he was on earth. But his words are everywhere.
I mean, everywhere. I'm saying tonight, you hold in your hand. And if you preacher boys think you're going to go out of here and build a church on something beside this book, you got another thing coming. You think your charisma and your personality and your good sermons and your humor, listen to me, is going to be... No, sir. If God ever does anything with you, he'll do it by his words.
The words of God. Not NIV words. Not RSV words. Not ASV words. Not New King James words. Not Zondervan words. Not Nelson Publishers words. Not Broadman Press's words. But God's words. And there you have it. In your hands. Think about it. In your hands. On your shelf. There it is. There is the weapon that God has used to fight every battle. And the tool that God has used to make everything he's ever made. And what God has used to do everything God has ever done. Boy, you ought to be thankful tonight you've got a copy of that right there in your hands. And we use drama. And Mr. Hybels over here uses drama. Not Hiles, Hybels. I wish his name was Smith. Too much like mine. I was on an airplane the other day and a guy said, what kind of business? I said, pastor of church. What size? I said, biggest in the world. He said, your name is Hybels. I said, no, sir, it's not. It's Hiles, and let me spell it for you, and don't you get mixed up with the guy who uses drama instead of the preaching of this book. And we use cinema. We go to some non-denominational college and major in cinema. But I'd rather major in cinema roles than major in cinema. I'll give you a dime for the whole mess. Brother, what God does, he does through that book right there. His words. And we use lectures and opera and book reviews. I've seen these words make drunkards sober. I've seen these words make harlots pure. I've seen these words take a little country church and turn it into a beehive of soul winning back in the days before soul winning became popular. I've seen it take a little church with 44 members and in 6 years and 8 months have a church of over 4,000 members that became the fastest growing church in the world and led the entire Southern Baptist Convention 1 year in baptisms and then became an independent Baptist church. I've seen the Word of God, the words of God come and take an old downtown church right here in the middle of old Hammond, Indiana, where nobody says you can build a church, but I've seen the mighty words of God make the greatest soul-winning church in the history of the church right here on this corner. Why? It's the words of God. No wonder the devil attacks it. He knows what God, how God does all he does. No wonder the devil attacks it. No wonder the atheists hate it. No wonder the liberals deny it. No wonder the evangelicals change it. No wonder the fundamentalists neglect it. No wonder the Catholics add to it. No wonder the Reader's Digest condensed it. No wonder the Supreme Court banned it. No wonder our dirty bookstores commercialize it. No wonder our public schools expelled it. No wonder Nelson printed a fake devil's Bible called the New King James. No wonder Zondervan printed the devil's diversion or Satan's substitute in the NIV. No wonder Satan gave us an RSV, an ASV, a new ASV, a new Scofield, an American Bible Society Bible, and the Living Bible. No wonder. I'll tell you why. The devil's got more sense than we have. The devil knows how God does what he does. The devil knows it's all done by the Word. And the devil said, I'll choke it out. I'll dilute, destroy, add to, take away from the book. But my Bible said, the words of God abide forever. I read the 119th Psalm several times. Verse 2, it says we're to keep it. Verse 2, 1 through 4 says we're to walk in it. Verse 6 says we're supposed to respect it, His Word. Verse 7 says we're supposed to learn it. Verse 9 says we're supposed to take heed to it. Verse 10 says we're not supposed to wander from it. Verse 11 says we're supposed to hide it in our hearts. All this in Psalm 119. Verse 12 says we're supposed to teach it. Verse 13 says we're supposed to declare it. Verse 14 says you're supposed to rejoice in it. Verse 15 says you're supposed to meditate in it. Verse 16 says you're supposed to delight in it. Verse 18 says you're supposed to behold it. Verse 20 says you're supposed to long for it. Verse 21 says you're not supposed to err from it. Verse 24 says you're supposed to seek counsel from it. Verse 27 says you're supposed to talk about it. Verse 30 says you're supposed to choose it. Verse 31 says you're supposed to stick to it. Verse 32 says you're supposed to run with it. Verse 34 says you're supposed to observe it. Verse 42 says you're supposed to trust it. Verse 43 says you're supposed to hope in it. Verse 46 says you're not to be ashamed of it. Verse 47 says you're supposed to love it. Verse 49:8 says you're supposed to lift it up. Verse 49 says you're supposed to be comforted by it. Verse 54 says you're supposed to sing it. Verse 59 says you're supposed to think about it. Verse 66 says you're supposed to believe it. Verse 83 says you're not supposed to forget it. Verse 105 says you're supposed to follow it. Verse 128 says you're supposed to esteem it. Verse 161 says you're supposed to stand in awe of it. Verse 164 says you're supposed to praise God for it. And there you sit and watch some dirty whoremongers on television that'll pass away when the earth melts with a fervent heat and it'll burn in hell someday forever and ever. And you sit there and watch those dirty people, those whoremongers and perverts on television. And there sits the eternal Word of God by which God does everything He does. Ladies and gentlemen, back to the Bible and back to God. Back to Mother's Bible. Back to the King James Bible. Everything that God has ever done, He's done through His words. Our Heavenly Father, help us to get back to the book. We criticize the evangelicals for changing it, public school for expelling it, while we neglect it. Help us to become people of the book. Please. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will...